you to go with me to Genesis chapter 16. We're going to start reading with verse 1. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto thy maid, and it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abraham, My wrong be upon thee, I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand to do as it pleases thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presences of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that sees me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. In Genesis chapter 16, Hagar, we see, is a woman that is very weary and she's overwhelmed. She has been treated very harshly by Sarai. Verse 6 tells us that Sarai dealt hardly with Hagar. That word hardly in the Hebrew means to browbeat, to batter. So in other words, Hagar was a woman that was being abused by Sarai. She was being mentally abused. She was being emotionally abused. She may have even was being physically abused by Sarai. And Hagar just reaches the point where she can't take it anymore. She reaches her breaking point. And overwhelmed, she flees into the desert. And in the desert, she's just a broken woman. She's a woman that is overwhelmed by her crisis, by her situation or circumstance that she finds herself in. And the Bible says that in the wilderness, she finds a fountain of water, which, brothers and sisters, represents to me just the goodness and the kindness of God. God has a way of meeting people that are just overwhelmed by their crisis and overcome by their situations. He has a way of meeting them and just bringing them back to a place where they can function again, where they can cope again with whatever they're facing. So Hagar is in the desert, and in the story, the Lord suddenly appears to Hagar. The Lord just suddenly shows up in her crisis and in her situation. And when you read the story and the Lord's presence suddenly appearing to Hagar, everything now changes for Hagar. Everything about her crisis, the Lord is there. And it's the presence of the Lord that makes a difference in Hagar's crisis. And I just wanted to say this morning that I believe with all my heart, with everything that is within me, that it doesn't matter what circumstances, what crisis people are going through, that when the Lord suddenly comes, when the Lord in His tender presence, in His glorious presence, in His powerful presence suddenly comes, it doesn't matter what the situation may be, everything can change. It doesn't matter how painful the situation may be. It doesn't matter how grievous, how heartrending the crisis may be that we find ourselves in. When God suddenly shows up, when the presence of the Lord suddenly comes, God in His power, God in His presence, everything can change. And brothers and sisters, I know with all my heart that there are so many people in our world today They're going through horrendous things. They're going through horrendous crises. They are facing things that are just so grievous, so heartrending. But I know in my heart that if the Lord would just suddenly come, that if God would just come in His presence and just open up the eyes of our heart and cause us to see Him, everything can change. The Lord can make a difference in what people are going through. I remember hearing a very sacred, very precious testimony from a man of God, a man that's walked with God for many, many years, and he's loved the Lord, and he's served the Lord faithfully. And suddenly, in a moment of time, both his wife and his daughter came down with terminal cancer. Both of them were dying at the same time. And this man of God tried his best to be strong in his faith. He tried his best not to question God. But somewhere in the midst of the crisis, he just broke down and began to pour his heart out to the Lord. And he began to say, "Lord, I don't understand this. I walked with You. I've laid down my life. I've served You. I've loved You. Not that I'm trying to merit anything. I just love You, God. This happens, and Lord, I just don't understand it. Why would You allow this to happen in my life?" And as he was weeping before the Lord, suddenly the tender presence of the Lord filled the room and filled this man's heart. And God began to give him such a living revelation of the cross again. God began to give him such a living revelation of the love of God displayed upon the cross, demonstrated upon the cross. That one more time, such a revelation that of God came, that God loved me so much that He sent His Son to die a horrible death on a cross, that I could be saved from my sin and that I could have a very personal, very intimate walk with God. This revelation in such a living way came to his heart in this time of crisis, in this time of brokenness and weeping before the Lord. The presence of God came. And this man found himself, all he could begin to pray was, "Lord, I love You. Lord, I love You. And Father, if You take my wife and if You take my daughter, I know they're in very good hands. And God, I want You to know something. And I know You know my heart, but I just want to tell You, God, that if You decide to take my wife and You decide to take my daughter, I want You to know, Lord, nothing's going to change between us. Nothing's going to change between us. God, I'm still going to love You. I'm still going to walk with You. I'm still going to seek You." Why? Because in his time of crisis, suddenly the presence of the Lord came. And one more time, God began to reveal the love of God to him. God began to reveal began to pour the love of God into this man's heart. And brothers and sisters, that made the difference in his crisis. That alone made the difference in what he was going through. And I believe with all my heart there are many people suffering horrendously. And what they need more than anything else is just for the Lord to show up. What they need for more than anything else is just for the presence of the Lord just to suddenly come to their heart and come to them and to break through their grief and to break through their pain. Just the presence of the Lord being there, just the revelation of God's heart is enough to make the difference in times of crisis. I believe that with all my heart. There are many suffering people, many people that are suffering horrendously, and really what they need is just a visitation from God to their heart. I can think of someone right now. Me and her son were very, very close. We were very close. And not many days after I got saved, he died of a drug overdose. He died of a drug overdose. And this woman's life was so shattered by it. And today, she's a shell of a woman. Today, every day of her life, she lives in grief, horrible grief. And I've been to see her, and I've went and I've talked with her. And whenever I go see her, all she can do to this day, and that's been years ago, that's been 15 years ago, and when I go see her, all she can do to this day is just break down and cry and say how much I miss my son, how much I miss my son, how much I miss my son. And I've talked to her and I've talked about the love of God, but it seems like there's nothing I can say that can touch her grief. And beloved, the only thing I can pray for this woman, I mean, it's so sad. She has shut herself in her house. She never goes out of her house. And the only thing that she has to comfort her is a house full of cats. And I've been to see her in this secluded house. And the only thing that I can pray is simply this: God, You have to visit her. God, you have to visit her. I have talked with her. I've tried to break through to her. But there's nothing that I can say that can touch her grief. God, you have to visit her. Lord, you have to touch her in a way that only you can do. And brothers and sisters, I know in my heart that there's no grief that's too big for God. And I know in my heart that there are so many people. This woman, she doesn't walk with the Lord. She doesn't know the Lord. But at the same time, I know in my heart, because I love her very deeply, God loves her very deeply. And my prayer is, God, you can touch her. God, you can touch her in a way that I can't touch her. And I feel in my heart, Lord, you just need to come. You just need to show up. You just need to appear. You just need to come to her heart and break through where I can't break through, Lord. And that's the Lord's heart. I feel that this morning. That is the Lord's heart. There are so many people that are suffering. But it's the presence of God coming, just suddenly showing up, just coming to their heart that will make the difference. So the Lord appears to Hagar, and the Lord begins by saying two things that reveal something very deep from God's heart. Look with me at verse 8. Well, let's start with verse 7, but we'll find it in verse 8. Verse 7 says, "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, 'Hagar.'" Now it says the angel of the Lord here, whether it is a Christ, a theophanies, Christ in the Old Testament appearing, or whether it's an angel, you have to remember an angel is simply a messenger of the Lord. So ultimately, this is the Lord speaking to her. And verse 8 says, "And the angel said unto her, 'Hagar.'" In other words, the Lord is revealing something very special to her. The Lord is saying to Hagar, he's saying, "Hagar, I know you by name. I know you by name. Hagar, you're not just another face in the crowd. I know you by name." In other words, ultimately, the Lord is saying, "Hagar, you are very important to me. Very important to me. Yes, I have spent years raising up Abraham to be a great man of faith. But Hagar, you haven't gone unnoticed by me. Hagar, you haven't been unobserved by me. I know you by name. I know everything about you. Hagar, you're important to me." That is what the Lord is saying. And beloved, there's something I know. There's something that sinners and Christians have in common. We do have something in common. And I don't say that in a condescending way. I just really want to bring this out. And that is simply this. All of us are very loved by God and we are known by God. I know that with all my heart. People that are totally in rebellion, lost without God, unsaved, they are known by God. God loves them. Listen, John 3:16 settles every question about that. John 3:16 clearly tells us that the reason why God sent his son to die upon the cross is because he loves sinners. John 3:16, we all know it, but let me quote it. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's why God sent his son into the world. And brothers and sisters, I remember the very first time the Lord really introduced me to the world. I remember that. I remember the very first time I really got a revelation that God loves sinners. For my own life, yes, my own conversion, but I remember the first time the Lord introduced me to the world. I had just graduated Mount Zion School of Ministry. I went to New York to do an internship. And in New York, God introduced me to the world. I remember a friend of mine, we went out street witnessing, we went out evangelizing, and we was out telling people about Jesus and the love of God, and I remember we turned a corner, and when we turned the corner, there was a whole street full of prostitutes, just out there doing what prostitutes do, and my friend looked at me, and he said, "Well, we're here, we might as well tell them about Jesus," and I said, "Yeah, they're kind of pretty, we should pray first," and he said, "Yeah, we should." So we prayed. This is our first time out in New York. So we prayed together. And after we prayed together, we began going and talking to them about Jesus. And we were talking to one woman named Tiffany. And as we were talking, as he was talking to her, I suddenly got the shock of my life. I was looking and I said, "Oh my goodness, this isn't a woman. This is a man dressed up like a woman. This is a, I've never seen that. I've always heard about it, but I've never seen it before." And I was shocked. Come on, you can laugh if you want to. I was shocked, not laughing at him, but laughing at me. I was shocked. And my friend's just praying, and I'm looking around, and I'm saying, these are all men wearing dresses. And I was just kind of blown away. But my friend kept sharing with this man the love of God. And I begin to see this man's eyes begin to mist up through all the mascara and the makeup. I saw his eyes beginning to mist up. And then my friend asked this man, he said, can we pray for you? And I'll never forget the flash that went through that man's face. And he said to us, he said, yeah, I want you to pray for me. But when you pray, don't pray for Tiffany. Pray for Brian. Brian is my man name given to me at birth. And in his heart, this is what I heard him saying. You see this dress, you see this makeup, you see this wig, you see these stockings. This isn't me. I'm trapped. I'm trapped in this and I can't get out. Don't pray for Tiffany. Pray for Brian. And we prayed for him. And as we were praying for him, in my heart, I felt such the love of God for this man. I felt that God wanted to break his chains. I felt like the Lord wanted to set him free. And brothers and sisters, I have to be honest with you. I have heard preachers, I've heard pastors get up behind pulpits and say shady things about homosexuals. And the congregation would kind of snicker and laugh. And my heart would be so grieved because I would always go back to this moment in time where I felt the love of God for a homosexual that was bound in his sin. And I could never do that. I can laugh at me, but I could never laugh at someone bound like that. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. Our world is full today, not just with suffering saints that really need to know God knows them by name, but our world is full today with suffering sinners that really need to know God knows them by name and that God loves them. That God would just suddenly come to their heart, like he did with Hagar, just suddenly come to their heart and say, I know you by name, and I love you, and I can set you free from this. And that they would be so broken by the presence of the Lord, and that they would fall into a place of repentance, and they would rise up out of that place of repentance, new creatures in God, a new creation in God, ready to receive what God has for them. Just going back to my point, there are so many people in our world today that just need God, need the presence of God just to show up. Because God, in his tender presence, when he comes, everything can change. There's no crisis that God can't show up and change. The circumstance may not go away. The pain of the crisis may not go away. But just the fact that God's presence is there, that can change everything. So he says to her, first of all, he says, Hagar. In other words, he says, I know you by name. And then he says, Hagar, Sarai's maid. In other words, the Lord is saying, I don't only know you by name, but I know what's going on in your life. I know where you're at. I know all about Sarai's abuse. I know all about her cruelty. I know all about her mistreatment to you. I'm not indifferent to it. I'm not apathetic to it. I know what's going on. And brothers and sisters, one of the greatest reasons God's Spirit is in our world today is because God cares about what is going on in people's lives, and he cares about what is happening to their hearts and the crisis that they're in. Isaiah 61:3, which so defines the heart of Christ, says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel, to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind. To give unto them that mourn, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joyful mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That is one of the great reasons why the Spirit of the Lord is upon this earth. Because God sees what's going on in people's lives. He sees the crisis. He sees the hurt. He sees the rejection. He sees the pain. And he cares about it. And so the Holy Spirit is here to bind up that which is broken, to bring joy for that which is mourning. Beloved, I know in my heart, talking about this woman that's shut up in this house with a house full of cats, if she doesn't receive a miracle, she's going to go to her grave in her grief. Every single day for the rest of her life, she's going to wake up grieving, and she's going to carry that grief year after year after year until it finally kills her, or she dies of old age and goes to the grave in her grief. Only a miracle from God can ever bring her joy back. You can give her all the money, material things that a person could ask for. You could give her all the fame, all everybody's asking for, worldwide fame. But I'm telling you, that cannot break the grief, the spirit of grief that is over this woman's life. And I can tell you right now, she could care less if you gave her money. She could care less if you gave her fame. She could care less if you gave her all these things. The death of her child has absolutely ruined her life. And unless God comes, she'll go to the grave with it. But God's heart is this: I want to come. I want to manifest my presence. There's no grief too big for me. There's no pain too big for me. Weeping may endure for a night, but if you'll open up your heart to me, I promise you joy will come in the morning. Because I'm God. So the Lord says to her, Hagar, Sarai's maid. Then the Lord goes on to speak to Hagar, asking her two important questions. He asks her, whence comest thou and where are you going? And if you really look at these questions, they're very powerful, heart-searching questions. Very powerful, heart-searching questions. And then he gives her a word of instruction, return and submit. And if you go to Ecclesiastes, you really see what the Lord is saying. He's saying, I'm telling you how to put an end to all the abuse. Ecclesiastes talks about that. And the thing I feel from the Lord is I can go with you through the questions and what they mean. And I can go with you through the instructions the Lord gave her, what they mean. But that's not what the Lord wants me to do this morning. I've done that before. What is important is this. The Lord simply saw the needs in her heart. He saw her pain. He saw her confusion. He saw her questions. He saw all these things. And he knew how to come and meet the needs that were in her heart. And beloved, as I was saying, there's so many people. They're in times of crisis. Their hearts have been broken. They have needs in their heart. And every single one of them, God knows the needs of their heart. And he knows how to reach the needs of their heart. He knows how to reach to their heart. There's no need too great for God. There's no heart that's been too broken. There's no spirit that's been too fragmented that God can't come and repair and heal. And that's the important thing that we have to understand. God sees the needs in people's heart and he knows how to meet those needs. He knows how to minister to those needs. So the Lord suddenly appears to Hagar. Now I'm wrapping it up. So really catch this part. So the Lord suddenly appears to Hagar. He comes into her crisis and he meets the needs of her heart. He speaks a life-giving word and meets the needs of her heart where she's at, to the point where her whole life's changed and she's going to carry a testimony in her heart for the rest of her life. God suddenly appeared. He met her in this time of crisis. He met the need of her heart because he knew the needs of her heart. And for the rest of her life, she would leave this moment of crisis with a testimony in her heart that would go with her the rest of her life. So what is this testimony? Look with me at verse 13 and 14. And she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer-lahai-roi, because it was between Kadesh and Bered. So she gives this name, she gives this well, she gives this fountain a name where the Lord met her in her time of crisis. And I'm not going to try to pronounce it again. But here is what this name means. It means, the name of this well means the God who lives and sees. So here's in this moment of crisis when the Lord just suddenly showed up and met the needs of her heart. This is the testimony that she left with. In her heart, the testimony is this: God is alive. Though he is invisible, he is more real than anything that is visible. And this great and loving God sees me. I really wasn't aware that I was noticed by the Lord. I really wasn't aware that I was important to the Lord. But now God has come in my time of need and done something in my heart that only he can do. And now my eyes are open to see the one that has always seen me. That was the testimony she left with. That God knows me by name. He knows what's going on in my life. And not only does he know me by name and knows what's going on in my life, he loves me and he knows how to meet the needs that are in my heart. And I believe with all my heart, at this very moment, she began to walk with God in her way. She doesn't know everything there is to know about the Lord. She doesn't understand all the ways of the Lord. But she knows the Lord enough to know that the Lord loves her. And whatever she's facing in life, the Lord can meet her need. She knows that. And you see that again in her life. And beloved, just want to go right back to my point. Very simple point. There are many people in our world today. People that you know, people that I know. They're really in a time of crisis. They're really in a place of great, great suffering. But the Lord can come. He can come to their heart. His presence can just suddenly come into their crisis. His presence, His glorious presence, His tender presence can just suddenly come wherever they're at. And the Lord can make a difference. There's no pain, there's no grief that's too big for the Lord. God can come and He can make a difference.